Hello everyone, Stuart Watson here, and I'm in Portman Road in Mark Ashton's office to speak to the ITFC chairman to reflect on what you have repeatedly called a brutal first season back in the Premier League, a first Premier League season in 22 years for the club. Mark, a few days on, how are you reflecting on things?
I think a balanced view. I think if you cut through the emotion, there's an element of frustration. But that's probably outweighed by a huge sense of pride within the club on the way we've approached the division, the way the club has conducted itself, but ultimately frustrated that we'll be playing our trade in the Championship again next season.
Can you outline how tough a challenge it was? Back-to-back promotions, how big that leap was, some of the challenges you've faced?
And the grey hairs or wrinkles will answer a few of that. I think, look, we always knew going into the biggest and best league on the planet that this was going to be a challenge. And I think, if I'm honest with you, probably, I've said this to my team, from when we played Coventry away, that amazing night that we had at their stadium with a late Burgess winner, it's almost felt like I've been in a snowstorm since that night. Literally no time to breathe. We went from Coventry into Huddersfield, into promotion, into celebration, into then the challenge of retaining Kieran, the spotlight of the Premier League, you know, 100 plus projects to deliver at Portman Road, being told we've got Liverpool here in August at the opening game of the season, and that's before you get into the whole acquisition piece of players, player trading, building the squad, contract renegotiations. And it feels like that has just continued through the year. It's not a complaint, by the way, that's the world we live in. But getting time to breathe within that, I think, has been a real challenge. And, you know, Kieran and I said day one how we conducted ourselves was really important. Sticking to the principles of the plan was going to be really important. Knowing that we were in a league that was very unforgiving and was brutal. So I think that we've all felt that. Now we have to sit down, realign, reset, and be prepared to go again with our learnings very, very quickly.
4 years in League One and then an instant promotion to the Premier League. We're in a modern era of profit and sustainability and points deductions and all of that. Can you provide some context to people, you know, where the wage bill sits in comparison to the rest of the Premier League? I'm assuming bottom, but by how much?
I think if you go back to the 4 years, I think as we plan to move this football club forward again, it's always important we remember where we've come from. And had we have said 4 years ago when I sat in this room with you and the paint was peeling and the walls were leaking that this season we'd have been relegated from the Premier League, we'd purchase players for record numbers at 20 million plus and we would break record sales this season at, I don't know, 30 million plus, we'd have all probably looked a little bit curiously at each other. But that's the reality of what we've done, and a lot of things to be proud in within that. And we must remember that as we move forward, because when we judge ultimately what success looks like, we have to look at the club on a whole. And we can talk about that through this interview. With back-to-back promotions, new challenges arise. And new challenges particularly arise around financial fair play. Because if you're in League One, you're with SCMP rules, where you're allowed to inject equity. When you move into the Championship, you move into profit and sustainability. And then when you move into the Premier League, you move into a whole new world. So the reality is, even when we were in the Championship in the promotion season, our wage bill would have been one of the lowest in the division. We would have pushed to the maximum that we could spend, but we would have been one of the lowest. And why is that? Well, our revenue streams for 4 years in League One are not in line with bigger clubs in the Championship, let alone those who drop into the Championship on parachute payments. So when we were in the Championship, there would have been a number of clubs whose revenue streams could have been anything to 30 to 40 million plus ahead of ours, which gives them that additional headroom to spend. Our revenues as a club, when we bought the club, we were around 13 million stagnant per year. This year, we'll cap out at, you know, circa 160 million. That's incredible growth. Now, some people will say, yeah, but the majority of that is broadcast. It is, but there's a hell of a lot of other things that go into that. Record commercial sales, record ticket sales, record shirt sales, records broken every single week at the stadium. So that shows one of the biggest football growth curves in world football. And whilst that's good from a P&L and a revenue perspective, you're still limited by the amount of which you can spend on players because of profit and sustainability rules. A lot of talk in the industry this year about those rules being changed. I think those rules will be changed and amended over the next 12 months, and I would heavily support that. But it's been a prohibitor for us because clubs who've been in the Premier League for a number of years naturally have much bigger revenues through commercial headroom, consistent Premier League revenues and player trading numbers. As we've just said, up to this point, we've bought a hell of a lot of players over the last 3 or 4 years and sold minimal. And that's fine because that's the choice we've made. But naturally, in that cycle comes a point where, not necessarily for cash, but for financial fair play, you've got to trade because you've got to give yourself the headroom to move again. The good thing with us, that's really well planned ahead. And we're not in fire sales. We haven't got to sell a multitude of players. But one or two players will be traded in and out to give ourselves that headroom and the ability to move forward. It's a huge challenge. And the clubs who are promoted are naturally at a disadvantage. Premier League naturally wants you to spend money because they want you to enhance their brand and be part of the show. Some clubs go up, don't spend anything, and come straight back down and go down again. We don't want to be in that bracket. So, look, we've been brave and bold, but we won't be reckless. I think anyone who knows me knows I passionately care about this football club and wouldn't do anything purposely to risk the long-term future of this football club. Kieran says exactly the same. So to say it's been a challenge from a profit and sustainability financial fair play perspective is an understatement, and I've made those representations very clearly to the league.
So in short, you push things as far as you possibly could within the realms of the rules. Money is not an issue. We know the money behind the ownership here. We know the ambition of the ownership. An element of frustration, you couldn't push things further?
I always want more. I always want more. And look, we try to be as creative as we possibly can in allowing ourselves to do that within the rules. But we want to build not just success here, we want to build sustainable success. Success sometimes just lands at your door. You know, we've seen clubs who have been promoted very, very quickly and then hit two relegations very, very quickly. And that's because they're not building sustainable success. To build sustainable success, you have to build infrastructure. So that goes back to some of the things we can talk about, whether that's recruitment, whether that's data, whether that's stadium, whether that's recruitment, whether that's coaching, whether that's play. You build that over time. And time, ultimately, I think, has been the biggest enemy.
Hmm. If I was to rewind 9 months now, and you were approaching this Premier League season again, back into that snowstorm that you talked about post Huddersfield. Is there anything you'd do differently? There's a lot of talk about what should have been done differently, but I guess the bigger question is what could have been done differently?
Well, I think you break that down into probably 3 or 4 buckets. Could have we been physically any more prepared? Not a chance, because be under no illusion, it took every ounce, every drain of energy, focus, determination, obsession that we all had to drag this football club back into the Prem. That was immense. And you know what? No matter what happens, no one can take that away from this team and this management team, because that was immense. And I don't think at that time you probably realised the magnitude of it, because you're right in the middle of it. The reality of doing things different. Oh my God, I could say that every single day. I've said this before, we're a learning environment. We learn every single day. I certainly do. My team certainly does. Kieran certainly does. And I think hindsight's always a wonderful thing because, you know, what we're mid-morning now. I could look back at this morning and say, God, I'd wanted to, there's three things this morning I would have done differently. So you can always do that. But you have to take that learning. You have to evaluate. We don't just wait till the end of the season to sit down and say, okay, let's write down what we've learned. You do it every single day. Kieran and I talk every single day. Staff talk every single day. We learn every single day. The challenge is you're learning in probably the most brutal, challenging football environment on the planet in front of the world. And that's the reality of it. So we can always be better versions of ourselves. I think I'd rather focus on the amount of things that we've done right. And I think the amount of things that we've done right certainly outweighs things that we would do differently. But the reality is we can always learn.
Yeah. I will start to look at the here and now and the future in a moment. But just one of the sort of common criticisms of the season would be, should assign more Premier League experience. You sign sort of championship players. That's where you return to. Easier said than done.
Yeah. Very. I'd love to someone sit here and show me how then, because I've done this job for 30 plus years and I think we're very well versed in knowing how to get deals done. And I think, look, one of the biggest challenges when you want to... Okay, let's go back to why we would do that. If you look at... We looked at our team at certain points in the season and we looked at the amount of, say, Premier League minutes that that team had got in experience compared with even the likes of a Crystal Palace. And the gulf is huge. Now, part of that is at key times, we've had players that have been injured. But every club can say that. But the reality is, when you are recruiting Premier League experience, it comes at a cost. And it's not necessarily the cost of the season that you're in the Premier League. These contracts run for 3, 4, 5 years. You know, you look at the likes of Chelsea and they're signing 6, 7, 8 plus years contracts. So we cannot risk this football club. It's too special. Not under my tenure. You know, this football club has been into administration in the past. I'm not taking it there. So if we sign an experienced player on a big salary that we can handle in the Premier League, challenge, but we can handle it, every member of staff, every player in this football club then has a reduction down into the Championship, down into League One. Our cost base has to flow in line with our revenues. When you want to sign that experienced player, 9 times out of 10, they will not take the reduction. And I can understand that because they're an experienced Premier League player. That puts this football club at huge risk because that liability sticks. I could not look my owners and more importantly my fans in the face and say, I took the risk on permanently damaging your football club by doing that. I'll be brave and bold. I promise you'll be brave and bold. My team will tell you, my God, our lawyers tell me every time they speak to us, Mark Christ, you push the boundaries, you push the boundaries. But there's a difference between pushing and knowingly breaking boundaries that harm the long-term future of this club. And we're here for the long term. So that's probably the most accurate answer I can give that to you.
Thank you. This trend between newly promoted clubs going straight back down the second season in a row, we've seen teams go up on 90 plus points totals and then go down on pretty low points totals in the Premier League. What do you make of this trend? Is it too small a sample size? Is it something to be concerned by? Do rules need to change? What do you think?
I think it's more than a trend. The numbers don't lie. And I think again, I think there's two parts to that. Is the challenges that face a club who've gone back to back and right the way through. And there's still huge challenges if you're like a championship club for 7, 8, 10 years, which there are some really good and big clubs, they will even have that challenge. The reality is we've got to find a way around it, and we've got to think of alternatives. You know, we had to find alternatives in League One. We had to find alternatives in the Championship. You've got to find an alternative way to do it in the Premier League. The reality is the financial rules are stacked against you right now. And I think they need... I'm not saying the baby needs to be thrown out with the bathwater, but I think there needs to be an adaptation. And what I said to the league was, look, as a club that's gone back-to-back, I think someone from the Premier League should be sitting down with us and from the EFL and saying, OK, tell us the challenges you faced and running that football club. And as we pen out our rules moving forward, how can we as leagues learn, work together better to support those clubs on the transition? And that transition up and that transition back is vital. Because, look, you hear noise in the industry about should we or should we not have parachute payments. Well, if we didn't have parachute payments, we couldn't have signed any of the players that we signed on promotion, because this season, how would we pay them? You can't. That there has to be a balance between the two. So whether you call it parachute payments or it's rebadged as something else, there still has to be a line that's smooth between the two divisions. And at the moment, the step speaks for itself on the clubs that are going up and down. So in answer to your question, it's more than a trend. It's fact. It's where we are. And look, you've got two clubs who've gone up this season who've got, again, parachute payment, have bounced. Really well-run clubs, good people running those clubs, good experience and knowledge. But they know they're going to go into that division finding it really tough. And I think we have to find... I think the rules need to adapt. And I think, look, when I came here, my obsession was, I'm taking this League One football club, I'm giving it back to its fan base, and I'm going to give it back to its community, I'm going to rebuild it, and in breakneck speed, I want to get it into the Premier League. That was what I woke up and thought about every single morning. It was an obsession. My vision now has to realign. I want to get this amazing football club back up, and I want to keep it up. So now, it's not a huge change, but it's a subtle change in my obsession. Up, keep us up. Up, keep us up. So we have to adapt to that. We have to take our learnings, I've said, and we need to be more effective and more ready. Look, if we go up, when we go back up, projects at the stadium are done now. That's 100 plus. Could you imagine what that took out of everybody just delivering that? The training ground will be built. Academy will be Cat 1. Recruitment will be more filled with knowledge and more effective people. We will naturally be bigger and stronger. But go back to your original point, we have to learn and we have to apply that learning again in what still will be the biggest and most brutal league in the world.
I'll talk to you about a few players, if I may, because that's what supporters will want to hear about. And there's one man who's been talked about more than anyone, and that's Liam Delap. I spoke to you back in March, and you said you were very well protected in terms of Liam going into this summer. Since been widely reported about 30 million relegation release calls, with Manchester City having some sell-on profit in there as well. Can you confirm if those numbers are correct? Obviously, Kieran has been open in saying that he's speaking to other clubs at this moment in time.
I think, look, you know me long enough. One, I wouldn't speak about any player's individual position, but I'm going to give you a context to this. And two, I'd be breaking every confidentiality rule in the rule book if I did, and I'd be in a world of trouble, and that would harm the club. Let's be really clear. When you are signing players as a Premier League football club, particularly when you're signing players from Premier League football clubs, young or old, they're very nervous about being stuck in a Championship club, because on that newly promoted season, you've just said stats show you go straight back down. So the contracts are always heavily negotiated with the club and the player and the agent. But the reality is there are a number of players, and when they're high profile and they're wanted by several clubs, you get presented with a term sheet. That's the term sheet for the club. That's the term sheet for the player. Now, if you want to talk to the player and give you a pitch to sign him, you have to agree to the terms. Because if you don't, I've got six other clubs who will agree. And we know the market. So we know that that's not lies. We know that that's not people telling us things that are untrue because we speak to the other clubs. Mm-hmm. So there's very little negotiate. That you're taking it or you're leaving it at that point. Our relations allow us to nibble around the edges of those agreements, to bend and twist them so we get the best version of it. It's just fact. It's just the reality of where you are. You've gone from the Championship being a big fish, if you like, in a small to medium pond, to being a big fish in a smaller pond, sorry, and the Premier League being a very small fish in the Atlantic Ocean here. And you protect yourself to the best of your ability. The board, major shareholders, all know what you're getting into. And that means at that point in time, you are going to break the record sales for the purchase for the football club. And if you sell that player, you're going to break the record sales for the football club. And again, remember, I'm not talking about any specific player. And when that player moves to the football club, you retain a percentage of his future profit as well. You protect it. But you know the numbers going into it. So of all our players, we know where we are with them. The ownership know where they are with them. The board know we know where the cash flows are with them, etc. And you have to look at it as an investment bank, like across the board. As I said, I think a couple of players will leave the club this summer. Not huge, not handfuls. Look, one has been very heavily publicised, hasn't been publicised by us. I think if I was an Ipswich fan, I'd be frustrated at the amount of times that's been in the press. But when things are in the press, particularly the nationals, they're in there for a reason. And that will be agents or other clubs trying to unsettle players, trying to build markets for players, etc. So all I would say to the fan base is, look, I think we have been as open and honest as we can be since we joined this football club. Every decision we make is in the best interest of this football club, but we have to deal with the market as it is. You know, this football club is always protected moving forward.
So just to clarify, the protection comes from if Liam goes on to have the career that many people are tipping him to have, if he has bigger money moves further down the line, Ipswich benefit from that.
Again, I'm going to take the word Liam out of it because I'll get myself into a world of trouble. But that would be a standard clause that we would negotiate into deals. Yeah. We're not perfect. Let's be really clear. But we do know what we're doing, and it's frustrating because you can't tell the fan base everything, and if they knew everything, trust me, they would look at it very differently. But this fan base, again, have been very trusting, very supportive, and we will fight tooth and nail for this football club.
Retain list will be out soon, in the next few days. Kieran has said that some element of turnover is healthy. 12 signings last summer. Do you expect it to be as busy this time around?
No, I wouldn't expect 12 signings. I wouldn't. I think, look, Kieran and I have talked about we want to maintain the bulk of the squad. If you look at the movement and success we had from League One to the Championship, I think a lot of that was based on everything being calm, everything being steady. The plan just rolled and we continued. But I think that there's always a natural churn. I don't see that being huge. I think it's, you know, and I think it's important fans understand this. One of the challenges you've got when you come down, you've got to retain, because we're going to have suitors for players. So as much as you've got to recruit, you've got to retain. You've got to work hard to make sure you've got those players locked down. But I think there'll be a small element of churn. I don't see it being huge, but I think it being enough that makes us more effective and ready for the Championship whilst retaining the bulk of the squad.
Yeah. No pressure / need to sell then. Any exits will be on very much on your terms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's more preparation time for next season? You talked about sort of the whirlwind and it went right down to the wire last year. Probably up until the Coventry game, you weren't really able to go full steam ahead into Premier League. As much as you'd love to have taken it down to the wire this season, knowing your fate when you did, has that enabled you to maybe get a bit more of a head start on next season?
Yeah, I think so. And look, I think we've had, I said this to him the other week, in fact, no, I said this to Kieran the other day. I think we have a very special manager. I think we have a very special management team, if you like, that run this football club, who are incredibly invested in this football club. And for the last probably 7 weeks, having known our fate, I think there's been a real hurt. I'm struggling to even say this to you, a real hurt in people's eyes. I know I've felt it. I haven't slept well. You just feel it every day because we care so much. But I think, and it becomes difficult then because, you know, you have, at that point, you know you're going to have loan players returning. You know you've got players coming out of contract. And I think the way Kieran has kept that team competitive, kept them together, has been quite incredible. You know, you've seen every single club around us in the league and some very big ones chop and change managers left, right and centre. I think we've been the best version of ourselves. Premier League have said to us, their words, there but the width of a post, you could have had 6, 7, 8 more points on the board. That sport. But you, in our view, you've done everything that you should have done. You've done everything you physically could do. The feedback that we've had from other clubs, even clubs around us, has been, you know, you've done this right. You haven't been a mess throughout the season. You've represented your football club incredibly well. And I think Kieran and his staff deserve, and my team as well here, deserve a hell of a lot of credit because they've kept the club together. And I'm very, very proud of that because it's important about how we roll into next season. That stability is key. It hurts, I'm not going to lie, but you got to take that hurt and you got to use it as motivation now to be ready to make best use of time and go again.
Yeah, time is something that crops up. Obviously, a lot of the deals happened quite late in the window for obvious reasons. You'd have liked to have done them earlier, but I assume that just wasn't possible. Do you think you can do business a little earlier this year because of circumstances? The window opens earlier. We've got the Club World Cup, which might affect things, get the dominoes falling sooner.
Listen, we're on to deals now.
Yeah.
The reality is when they fall. But we'll do them as soon as we can. I think for us, because the way how good Kieran is with his players from a development perspective, the earlier we have them, the better. Because the more time they have with him, the better.
Is Jens Kajusta someone that you'd like to keep, can keep? What's the situation there?
Look, Jens is a loan player who I think has done really well for us. I think he's had some challenges with injury this season, which have been well documented. Our conversations with Jens are ongoing, but you know, for a deal for Jens to be here for the long term would need to be something that's right for us, him and his club, and that dialogue continues.
Recruitment in general, how much more advanced is the scouting and the data systems now than it was, say, 12 months ago, 24 months ago?
I think it evolves every single day. However, there will be more people coming into the recruitment department over the summer. We've made this decision to bolster that. Again, that takes time because you've got to find these people. You then got to get them out of the clubs that they're in. And the reality is that we're probably trying to take people out of quite big clubs because we need the best of the best. But there'll be more investment into the recruitment department again this summer.
Yeah. We've got the Fabio Wardley fight coming up, the Ed Sheeran concert. How much revenue does that bring to the club, as well as the sort of getting more eyes on the club in general as well?
I think it's a balance. I think, look, it will obviously bring additional revenue into the club, which is always important. But I think for me, equally if not more important, it is taking this football club's historic brand further to a global stage. You know, Fabio now gets, in the 7th of June, the opportunity to fight at his boyhood club. It's something I looked him in the eye when I first met him and said, we will make this happen. And I think I've been true to my word and we've made it happen. look, that applies huge pressure to, because we're running, it's a Queensbury event, but this team here are doing a hell of a lot of the work. Ed was quite funny, because I remember us being at the training ground about 18 months ago. And Ed was pushing me for the concert dates because he wanted to do the concert here, because he could go and do this at Wembley, etc., etc. He knows when his album's coming out. And my nervousness was the time slots we've got because of the pitch. I remember being at the training ground and he went, right, if you don't agree to this today, I'm going up the road. And I'm going to do it them up the road. And I looked and I went, really? He went, can we shake on it now? And okay, done. So we shook on it there and then. And he applied it. He was having a bit of a banter with me. But we agreed there and then. And then the juggernaut has taken over. Incredible. Sold out 3 nights almost within an instant. And again, an incredible opportunity to show Ed as a family member to this club, family member to this community, puts the club on a global stage. I can't say enough about him, his support this season, his messages after games, his joining us at games. It's almost forget he's Ed Sheeran, world superstar, he's Ed Sheeran, Ipswich Town fan. Incredible person. Mm. And again, I think opportunity for the town to show itself off. And I think, you know, at times I say this to the council, you know, I want the town to be the best version of itself. I want the town to present itself to the world. And at times I hear a lot of people talk about the town, what we haven't got, what we haven't done. I think the fight and the concerts, Premier League season, we got something to talk about to put Ipswich on the global map, and I think we should all be really proud of it.
100%. Talking about front shirt sponsorship comes to an end. I know you've been on the record before at Fans Forum saying you'd never go down the gambling route.
Yep.
Reiterate that. Are you any closer to announcing anything?
I think we're imminent. That will be announced imminently. Ed and I again talked, board talked. We didn't think gaming was the right fit at this time for this football club. So we actually secured the deal and signed the deal several months ago. But obviously that can't come out because Ed sponsors the shirt this season. He knew about that. He was almost been part of the selection process. And when we announce this imminently, you'll see, put it this way, the numbers. If we'd have been a Premier League club this season, it would have been the biggest sponsorship deal outside of gaming in the Premier League. And it will be one of the very biggest sponsorship deals in the Championship.
Yeah.
And we're delighted with the people involved. And rightly so, get their moment in the spotlight imminently. They've been fantastic, and so has Ed.
The kit, is that still Umbro next year? I think you're going into...
Yeah, Umbro next year. And we're actually now underway with the designs for the following year.
Yeah. Infrastructure projects. I know there could be another however long chat in itself, but mm-hmm. can you give us sort of some bullet points on where you're at with Portman Road, Playford Road, Category 1, the list goes on. What are the headlines from all of that?
Okay, so look, everything we do at the football club pairs back to one thing and one thing only, and that's winning. Now, to win, we have to do a multitude of things, from culture to finances to facilities to you name it. You know, it's a multi-billion pound industry to make that ball roll 1 millimetre at kickoff. So for us to move, to give us the best chance to win, infrastructure is one of the key pillars that has to move forward. So if we start at Playford Road, we've broken ground on high-performance facilities for the first team, which will give enhanced high-performance facilities for Academy, Cat 1, and improved facilities for our women. Now, that's a game-changer for us. Let's be really clear. We are absolutely delighted that the women got promoted this year. But that was the plan. Why was that the plan? Because we increased the budget by 50 to 60% this season to give us a competitive opportunity to do something that the club had never done before. And So again, huge investment into the women's side this season. Fantastic performance by Joe, Rachel and his team. But that was planned. That was the focus when we started the season, and this is what we needed to do to get to it. We've invested every year since we arrived more and more in the academy because we see that an important pillar. I always said we'd only move to Cat 1 when I felt we were ready for Cat 1. So we've invested more money each year. This year, there is going to be a substantial increase in money in a Cat 1. And Cat 1 status, facilities, new pitches are being put in, etc. That comes with a plan. The academy have then got to start developing more players. Because whilst the academy was left stagnant, I believe, for a number of years, we've invested, we now have to get players through. The academy will, their plan will be, from the board, we will invest, but now we want to see the production line. We want to see more players coming out of the academy into the first team environment. And that is key. Plan for promotion, funded promotion. Funding, planning, academy category one. We need to now deliver on that and actually see more players coming through into the first team environment as an output from the academy. The first team will be given world-class facilities, and again, that's help on retention, recruitment, development of players. So all that's happening at Playford Road and Bent Lane, both sides of the, and that's, you're talking multi-millions here. Biggest investment in infrastructure this football club has had in the last how many decades. When you come back to Portman Road, there will be continued investment into the stadium as we stand. We've just got car parking and planning permission for the land that was the old Staples building behind the South Stand. We are looking at other projects around the stadium where we can improve and add to hospitality facilities. And so you'll see, if you like, the inside of the bowl and the infrastructure projects continue to develop. Again, at an expense, we will be talking about more safe standing. We'll be talking about adaptation and development of the bowl as it is. More investment into the pitch. You see this summer we put full LED in around I think the stadium when we played against Liverpool was an amazing representation of the town. From where, you know, when Kieran started, he was stood in a mud bath. It's unrecognisable. And then the ultimate project to Portman Road is obviously the cobbled stand redevelopment, and that project continues to move forward. Timing detail on that is going to take time. There's no rush on that because, again, this club took stands down. Some people will tell me probably when they could have paid better times to take them down. And there's never a good time. But we're looking at that on an ongoing basis. But that is a medium to long-term investment. But again, this club's only going one way, on and off the pitch. And we haven't even touched about the growth rate of which the foundation is hitting. I'm telling you, go find me a football club on this planet that has seen a growth curve like this in the last 4 years. I don't think there's one like it.
Mm. I'm going to finish by speaking about next season and the mindset going into that to finish. But just rolling back to the squad and the types of player that you invested in last summer, young players, squad value, is it... Mm-hmm. Certainly not depreciated, I wouldn't have thought. I know you do a sort of a running calculation on what you think it would be worth. Has it gone up even in the face of relegation?
Yeah, 100%. It's gone up. The minutes, the type of player we recruit, the minutes they get, the development they get, Kieran and his staff developing them is only adds value. I thought, it's funny enough, one of my owners sent me, I think, I don't know whether it was Transfer Market, one of the independent bodies had done an evaluation of all the clubs across the planet on their player valuation growth, and we were the biggest on the planet recently. That was independent, not us, which did make me smile. But I think it's a trend that we've had. And I think, look, moving forward, I think I look at recruitment in probably three pots, the first of which is the academy, 9 to 21s, 23s, that's got to get better and be more effective. we need to recruit in the underbelly, the players that aren't quite ready for the first team now, but are close to the first team. And when you look at the first team recruitment, I think we've got to make sure it's balanced. And whilst primarily we're always going to look, you know, for your next Leafs and your next Amaris, etc., there's got to be a balance between that and experience. Because, you know, I think we've done very well in the market where we've recruited a Massima, for example, or a Sam Morsi has come in. Very experienced pros in there, and it has to be a blend. So we'll be looking at both areas as we move forward.
All eyes on next season instantly then. Straight after promotion, we reflected on how you revelled in being the underdogs in the Championship. You wanted to continue, I think, what you labelled the shark mentality going into the Premier League. It's going to be very different next year, isn't it? You're going to be one of, if not the favourites. It's a mindset shift for everybody, internally, externally. How do you feel about that?
I think you put that really well. The hunters will become the hunted. And we've got to be ready for it. And, you know, if you go into this division with a mindset, it's going to be easy. You know, we've got players who've played in the Premier League. It doesn't work like that. The club, I don't want to use the word reset because we don't want to reset. When I first took this club, it became very clear we needed a revolution. I think we talked about that when we first came in. This summer, the club needs an evolution. And the evolution is some players will change. Staff will change. So be prepared. You are going to see some staffing changes at Playford Road and Portman Road because it doesn't mean these are bad people, but we need to evolve and we need to move forward. We can't just stagnate. We need different skill sets and different types of people to face the challenges that we're going to face moving forward. And that leads to our mentality has to be ready. The Championship, we all know, is a very I like the Championship. I like the routine of the Championship. You get into that roll of games. It's tough, it's hard, but nobody gives an inch. Nobody's going to give us respect that we've just been relegated from the Premier League. They are going to come for us, and we've got to be ready. And Kieran and I have talked about that both on and off the pitch, we have to be ready for that. And we will be hunted at times, and we've got to be the best versions of ourselves. And what I would say to you is, I think when we brought Kieran in 3.5 years ago, we had conversations with yourselves and other stakeholders. And the one thing I'd found was, what had shocked me was the size of this football club, the size of the fan base. One club in the county, the history, the tradition, the voices and the noise around this football club was incredible. And I said, for us to be successful, we had to move all together in the same direction. I remember in the early days, people almost, oh, Kieran's playing this type of football, you know, we've got to be more direct, the pitches aren't good. No, we've got to be as one. This is how we're going to do it. We need people to understand how we're going to do it, and we need to be as one. Right now, we need to take a deep breath, and we need to move again, but we need to move as one. We've got to do this again, but we've got to do it as one. Fan base has been unbelievable. The comments I get where I meet people in the town, the county, the letters we have, the way the fans have been with the players, home and away, has blown us all away. And we've all found that quite emotional because I think the fan base has been incredible. Next season, Portman Road's got to be a fortress again. The away fans, I know, will be incredible. But everybody, the stakeholders, media, podcasters, former players, local authority, commercial partners, stakeholders, players, community, foundations, we've got to be as one. Because if we stay as one, this club is so big, we've proved it before, we can do what everybody else says we can't do. But we can only do it as one. We need to reset, breathe, and we need to do it again.
Because there's three different examples from this season, isn't there? The three teams that come down, Burnley have gone up with an unbelievable points total. Sheffield United have just missed out after a fantastic season in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Luton have gone straight back down. So that gives you an idea of how it can go very differently for clubs that fall through. Have you got a stated ambition heading into next season? Are you gunning for the title, top two, promotion, any which way it comes? What are you thinking?
I think, listen, every single season, I want the ultimate. I want ultimate success. One, I need us to be the very best versions of ourselves every single day, and that goes without saying. But my ultimate plan, my ultimate desire is for this football club to be in the Premier League next season, and as quickly as possible. It is as simple as that. We can't hide away from that. We plan, we work hard, and our plan is we want to get this club back promoted as quickly as we can.
Thank you very much for your time, as always, Mark. It's always a pleasure.
Absolute and, pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, it's fingers crossed for next season. Thanks, Mark.
Social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.